Father, Lord God, comes now the time of our service. Will your words be read and proclaimed? Lord God, be with us the meditation of our hearts, the thoughts of our minds, the words of my lips, that all of these may be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, our rock and redeemer. In your name, Lord Jesus, we ask. Amen. First from the book of Exodus, chapter 31. The Lord said to Moses, "See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with ability and intelligence, with knowledge and all craftsmanship." Then from the book of Judges, chapter 6. "But the Spirit of the Lord clothed Gideon, and he sounded the trumpet, and the Abizarites were called out to follow him." Then from the book of 1 Samuel. "Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David from that day forward." Then our last one from the book of Isaiah, chapter 61. "The Spirit of God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound." The word of God for the people of God. And you may be seated. Before we get forward, really dive into message today, a little bit of information, education, teaching to start. We go by a thing, you know, church calendar that's called the, I always have a hard time pronouncing this word, the liturgical calendar. Everybody knows what I'm talking about? Okay, it's a church calendar, and to go follow in that goes along with the church calendar is a thing called the Revised Common Lectionary. Now, it became revised sometime in the 70s. Before that, it was just a lectionary. Somewhere or another got revived in the 70s. What the Revised Common Lectionary is, it is a set of readings. When I say readings, every Sunday, they give you, the Common Lectionary gives you a psalm, an Old Testament, an epistle, you know, one of the letters, and a gospel to read every Sunday. They're set. And the lectionary is divided into a three-year period, year A, year B, and year C. I think we're in year A right now. Year A focuses on Matthew, year B on Mark, year C on Luke. John, with the lectionary, kind of got thrown out to the side. They squeeze him in, you know, every once in a while, you know, when they can. One pastor said this, you know, of the lectionary: "It is a roadmap of sorts for congregations, ensuring they hear a balanced and broad variety of scripture rather than just the pastor's favorite passages." I say most lectionaries, you know, they divide into a three-year period. Now, the reason I'm telling you all of this, according to the lectionary, today is Pentecost Sunday. Okay, everybody know about Pentecost, you know, the giving of the Holy Spirit. But, you know, the thing about the lectionary, every Sunday you have these four readings, and the readings are really not connected, you know, there's not a common thread that goes through each of the readings for one Sunday, you know, and they're not really connected each other. You know, the Gospels are kind of connected, but none of the other ones are. That's kind of difficult. You know, one of the good things, if you read all of the readings every Sunday, you know, in a three-year period, you almost read through the whole Bible, you know. But it's to read all those readings every Sunday. Well, like I said, today is Pentecost Sunday. But according to the way the lectionary has it, didn't talk about the Holy Spirit last Sunday. You won't talk about the Holy Spirit next Sunday. It's a one Sunday deal. You're there, you're done, and you're gone. And I've done that. I don't want to do that this year. Elise was asking me, you know, earlier, okay, how long are we going to leave these colors up? We're going to leave them up for 3 weeks. You know, so we're going to kind of dive into the Holy Spirit instead of just a, you know, one-time thing and push on. I just want to give it more time, you know, to talk about and worship, the Holy Spirit, Father, Son, Spirit. Now, talking about that, Terry Hare came up the other day, and he had this little handheld leaf blower. How many have leaf blowers? Just about everybody has got leaf, everybody's got leaf blowers now. And why? Go try and sweep that parking lot out. When that parking lot's full of leaves, go out there with a big street broom and try sweeping that thing out. You're going to spend a lot of time and effort, working under your own power, But Terry came up. I mean, it's a little bitty thing, that you hold, and you can just go out, 5 minutes, and you got the whole parking lot blown off. And I was telling Terry this morning, and I asked, okay, what size battery did that thing have? I think it had a 20-volt battery. I saw one online, this past week, and it had, I think it was a 52 or 56-volt battery. It said it blew the wind, blow wind up to 210 miles an hour. Do y'all trust advertisements? I don't. It showed this little skinny guy holding this thing, supposedly with one hand. So, yeah, you're going to hold it with one hand, and it's blowing 210 miles an hour? Yeah, right. But even if it does, without the battery, what good is it? Nothing. No power at all. Without the battery, it is just a big paperweight. Y'all see the point I'm trying to get to you? Without the Holy Spirit, what are you? You're just a big, no, I'm not calling anybody big. Without the Holy Spirit, you're a two-legged paperweight. If we're followers of Christ, we have to have His Spirit in us to ask Him, send Your Spirit upon us, God, to make us, to mold us, to use us, to send us where You want us to go. So we're going to start today talking about, and I titled it, The Holy Spirit in the Hebrew Bible. Now, same Hebrew Bible, Old Testament, same thing. We call it our Old Testament. Jews to the Jews, our Jewish brothers and sisters, it's not the Old Testament. It's the scriptures that they use every day. They're the same books. They're just classified, different. Okay, for us, the Old Testament is first the books of the law, then it's the books of history, then poetry and prophecy. The law is Genesis to Deuteronomy, 5 books. History's 12 books, Joshua to Esther. The poetry is five books, Job to the Song of Solomon. Prophecy is 17 books, Isaiah to Malachi. That's our Old Testament. The Hebrew Bible, they have the law of Moses, the prophets, and then the writings. Same books. They just group them together, different order, and classify them together. Okay? Now, in the Hebrew Old Testament, the Holy Spirit, the word used, it can mean breath, it can mean spirit, it can mean wind. But when you're reading your Old Testament, I hope you read it, when you read the Old Testament, when you see the Spirit of God, when you see Spirit, mostly it's talking about the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. As followers of Christ, we know God one in three ways, Father, Son, Spirit, the Trinity. But to our Jewish brothers and sisters, they say, no, that's not right, just one God. Jewish scholars see the Holy Spirit as God's work in the world, God's active work in the world, God sending His Spirit to work in the world, God pouring out His Spirit to work in the world in the Old Testament, God imparting His Spirit, that our Jewish brothers and sisters believe the Spirit is very much like God, but not God. Very much like God, but not divine. But it's God's work, God's way of working in the world. A lot like believers, but not. In mythical Judaism is more like Christianity. Mythical Judaism, they believe the Holy Spirit lives inside of them. But normal, everyday Jews, and I'm not talking about Messianic Jews, just Jewish, our Jewish brothers and sisters, they don't think that way about the Holy Spirit. That the Spirit is a manifestation of God's power and God's work. And through the Spirit, God works in the world. In the Old Testament, the word used for Spirit is R-U-A-C-H, Ruach. The word means wind, means breath, it means Spirit. I think everybody knows this verse by heart probably. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was hovering over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. God, God's Spirit, God's wind, God's creative force going out, hovering over the waters of creation. God using His Spirit, God working through His Spirit, God Himself in His Spirit. The creative power of God. 2 Samuel, God's power at work in the world. Then the channels of the sea were seen. The foundations of the world were laid bare. At the rebuke of the Lord, at the blast of the breath, same word, ruach, at the blast of the breath of His nostrils, God's Spirit. Exodus 31, God had been giving Moses instructions as the Israelites were set free to God, instructing them to build a tabernacle, giving them instructions. Exodus 31, the Lord said to Moses, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with ability and intelligence, with knowledge and all craftsmanship. That God poured out His Spirit on this one man to build the tabernacle for God, to do the things that he could not do on his own. And I'm telling you, people, every time I read this passage, I've read it many times this week, with the ability and intelligence, I see a lot of people walking around these days, they have not got the Holy Spirit. Not that part, the ability and intelligence part. But it's the same thing found in the New Testament. God fills us with His Spirit. Give us gifts, give us abilities to do His work, to accomplish His purposes. Then we get to the book of Judges. Samson went down with his father and mother to Timnah. They came to the vineyards of Timnah. And behold, a young lion came toward him roaring. The Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him. And although he had nothing in his hands, he tore the lion in pieces as one tears a young goat apart. The Spirit of God rushed upon Samson. The Spirit of God coming on him. He didn't ask. He wasn't looking for it. Just when he needed it, like a super shot of adrenaline. And we've all heard those stories. Something happens and all of a sudden somebody's able to pick a car up off of somebody. Somebody, the super shot of strength and ability. The Spirit of God coming on Samson, he tore a young lion apart. Said, just as one tears a young goat. Now how many of us, really, how many of us could tear a young goat apart, much less a lion? You know, now maybe a chicken, especially after it's barbecued or cooked. But a young goat or a young lion? No, none of us. Then the book of Judges again. But the Spirit of the Lord clothed Gideon. He sounded the trumpet, and the Midianites were called out to follow him. The Spirit of God coming upon Gideon with strength and wisdom to rally the men of Israel. The Spirit gave Gideon the courage. The Spirit gave Gideon the power. The Spirit of God gave Gideon wisdom to be able to gather the men of Israel together and lead them out into battle. Then we get to 1 Samuel. Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him, David, anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David from that day forward. Now the wording there, rushed upon David, and same with Samson, rushed upon Samson, it's the same words. You know, the word, you mean mightily, you know, with power. It's not just a little, it's just with might and power, it came upon them, empowering them. Samson, able to rip a lion apart. David, a shepherd boy, all he had done up to that point was tend sheep and write songs. But with the power of God, the Holy Spirit rushed upon him from that day forward. He stood before Goliath. Courage, bravery, trust and faith in God. He knew God was with him, God was behind him. He was able to stand in front of Goliath with nothing but a sling and a rock and defeat Goliath. He was able to gather all the tribes of Israel together, consolidate them, and lead them to victory, all because of the Spirit. And then we get to Psalm 51. David realizes what he has done with Bathsheba. Verse 11, cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. David knows he could not have done anything without the Spirit of God in him. He knows he's done wrong, pleading with God, do not take your Spirit from me. He knows that is the only way he's been able to do all he's been able to do is with God's Spirit. For us to know how important it is to have that Holy Spirit and to pray that same prayer. God, please do not take your Holy Spirit from me. But before that, please, God, please send your Spirit upon me. But to know, if we leave God's path, if we do not listen to God, those gifts, that present, that Spirit can be taken, those blessings, those gifts. We find this in Scripture with David and Saul. Saul, the first king of Israel, and his gifts were taken away because he walked away from God, and the gifts were taken and given to David. A very powerful prayer. Do not take your Spirit from me. A prayer of confession. Oh God, I am sorry. I stepped away. I repent. Please do not take your Spirit from me. And then the Hebrew prophets. A prophet's main focus was telling the future. Warning people, if you do not repent, the prophets were social and religious critics, saying that what you're doing is wrong, and if you don't repent, God's going to take his Spirit, God's going to take his care, God's going to take his protection from you. That when your enemies come, and they will come, God will withhold his protection from you. Scripture tells us that our fight is not against about flesh and blood. It's the powers of darkness. That we have to have that Spirit to fight off the powers of darkness. The prophets were telling the people they were in danger. And being a prophet was no piece of cake. You know, they were always in constant danger. Jeremiah was thrown in stocks, thrown in jail, was thrown in a deep, dark, muddy well. I mean, a water well, not a fish well, to kill him. But when the Holy Spirit came upon a prophet, they found the courage to speak the words, God's words. What God wanted the people to hear. Micah says, but as for me, I am filled with power, with the Spirit of the Lord and with justice and might to declare to Jacob his transgression and to Israel his sin. Isaiah, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness. The prophets also gave hope. After they gave the warning, said, if you repent, God will come back and God will care for you. God will put his Spirit within you. If you only listen. The prophets talked about the Spirit telling them the Spirit leading them, guiding them, giving them the courage, giving them the words of God that God wanted the people to hear. But up until that point in Scripture, the Spirit had always been given to specific people at specific times for a specific purpose, a one-time thing. But then we get to the book of Joel. It shall come to pass that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. We see this on the day of Pentecost. They're all in one room as tongues of fire come and light upon each and every one of them. All. They saw this. This was the early church. All gathered together, and the Holy Spirit was poured out upon everyone there. All. That same spirit that hovered over the waters, that same spirit that came mightily upon Samson, the same spirit that came upon David, same spirit that came upon Gideon. That spirit, God's spirit, is available to each and every one of us. Paul put it this way: to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than you can ever ask or imagine. Without the Holy Spirit, we're just two-legged paperweights. The Holy Spirit comes upon us, and it's not that mightily, it's not going to knock you down. It's just that still, small voice, the gentle nudge. Amanda and I were in Super One Foods one day last week, and we had seen a guy walking around, older man walking around shopping. He happened to be in line right in front of us at checkout. He had some kind of card, I don't know what it was, and it wouldn't work. You know, the girl tried a bunch of times, got the manager over. I mean, they were even wrapping it in bags and trying, you know, it wouldn't work. You know, so the manager could say, well, come on over to this register so you can check the rest of the people out. And I had looked to see how much he owed. So he had him over at the next register, and I told the girl, I said, look, just go tell the manager. I'll pay for his food, you know, his groceries, whatever it is. I said, you want to do that? I said, yeah. You know, I said, that still small voice, that nudge, saying, Aaron, I've blessed you. You can bless him. So the girl went over to tell, and I tell you all this. The girl went over to tell him. She's pointing at me and saying, he's going to pay. And right when she says that, the manager ran the card through. You know what? His card worked. Talk about the Holy Spirit. Gosh. You know, and afterwards, you know, a man said, Aaron, I was thinking the same thing. I said, yeah, but you didn't say nothing. But, you know, talking, you know, that still small voice. And I think that's all God wanted to know was that I was listening. And that's how it comes. Are you listening for that still small voice, a gentle nudge? And I know some of you here, everybody has that one gift, singing. You know, the business world, you know, one thing or another, banking, accounting, whatever it is. Or do you have some gift that you're hanging on to? That a still small nudge is just a nudge. It's not that fire built underneath you to get you up to do whatever it is for the glory of God. One pastor put it this way: do not think of the Holy Ghost as a genial light, but as mighty, almighty, creative power. Now, I don't know about, I had to look up genial light, what that means. It means, you know, affable, you know, easygoing. You know, that the Holy Spirit of God is not an easygoing light. It's the almighty power of God. So Christianity teaches, we teach, the power of God hovered over the waters of creation. God, by the power of his Spirit, parted the Red Sea. God empowered the Israelites. He gifted those that designed the tabernacle. He gave Samson the power to tear apart a lion. That power, the power of God, is available to each and every one of us, to all believers, if we just listen. And once we have it, just to pray, God, do not take your Spirit from me. God, I'm sorry if I've walked this path, left the path. Just do not take your Spirit. Pour it out upon us. Amen. Let us pray. Father, Lord God, we just give you thanks that the same Spirit that spoke to the prophets, that same Spirit is available to each and every one of us. If we are just open to the work of your Spirit, Father, Scripture tells us all of this. Lord God, if we just but listen and be open to that still, small voice, that gentle nudge, in your Son's holy, life-giving name, amen.